Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Thursday, the 23rd of March. I'm Derek Clark, and I'm joined this morning for the first time this week by Johnny McFarlane. How are we doing, Johnny?
Great, Derek. Pleased to be here. Glad to see your smiling mug looking back at me first thing in the morning, which is always a pleasure. I've had my link sausage roll and omelette from Greg's. Other good bakeries are obviously available, and I'm ready to rock and roll.
Fantastic stuff. Yeah. Right, let's talk Rangers, folks. But before we do that, you can see a little ticker below if you're watching us on YouTube, Twitter and Facebook. We've got that brilliant offer on the website just now. Just £1 for 3 months worth of content. Not only that, you get entered into a draw to win two tickets, two director's box tickets, no less, for the upcoming match against Dundee United at Ibrox on the 1st of April. You'll enter through the magnificent main entrance, the main stand, up the marble staircase, into the Blue Room for pre-match and post-match hospitality, and you'll also have the best seats in the house as well. Head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe for all the details and to sign up. Quick word as well for our podcast sponsors, also Seneca Hair Restoration. They are the number one hair transplant group in Europe, no less. They are the top dogs to go to if you're looking for a wee bit of reinvigoration on the top of your head, perhaps a Chris Boyd or a Dick Advocaat, perhaps, and these are the guys to go to. And Johnny's just, I think you're okay, Johnny. I don't think you need to think about that for some time. But
I don't know, I'm starting, you know, it's getting worse and worse down these sides a bit, but you know, still a wee bit to go. I'm getting away with it, Derek. I'm getting away with it.
Yeah, you are getting away with it, Johnny. Right, let's talk Rangers. That's why people are tuning in. Great couple of pieces on the website this morning, folks. There's one from Johnny which touches on the ridiculous comments on Todd Cantwell regarding the Callum Slattery sending off at the weekend, and how he was deemed to be play-acting embarrassing he's been deemed and what have you. Johnny, we'll just briefly touch on that because me and Stevie talked about it a couple of days ago. It's typical Scottish football panto, really, and this boy that's just come up from Norwich City, I'm sure he's not paying too much notice of it, but it's a bit nauseating, I've got to say.
Well, I think he's entitled to have a look at being slaughtered on the national broadcaster in such a vociferous way by an employee of the club that he was playing against where the guy got sent off. I mean, it's a remarkable situation to happen. It's remarkable the BBC allowed it to happen. And I think David Priest, and I say this in my piece, who's a goalkeeping coach, former and analyst, journalist and former Aberdeen keeper, and I think it's safe to say, having been an Aberdeen player, not Rangers' biggest fan, was talking about it at the weekend, and there was a clip that was doing the rounds on the BBC Scotland Twitter that he sort of quote-tweeted, and he described the punditry as strange and went on to say you would think he would be a bit more professional than basically the opinion of the bloke in the pub. And that's exactly what it came across to me as. It was a sort of angry rant. Here's Cantwell coming in, who's a young guy, lovely soft feet, Derek, lovely soft feet, trademark, really skillful, and added something to Rangers and added a bit of class, I think, to the Scottish game in general. Another player that fans will enjoy watching. And you get this mad manufactured controversy around a nothing incident. Now, do I think it was a red card by Scottish football standards?
A yellow.
I know it was a second yellow, but
yeah,
in the circumstances, probably not. But then we're inured to kind of violence because our culture of football here in Scotland is that there's a lot of aggression floating around. So I think naturally we think of it as being, we err on the side of a bit more roughhouse football.
Yeah.
And I thought the guy Callum Slattery was a little bit unlucky. But at the same time, it's not Todd Cantwell's fault. Todd Cantwell did get an arm to the face. Yeah. And it's very, very difficult for people to come in and start to accurately assess the levels of impact that come from that arm to the face. You know, it's almost certainly a sore one. And anyone who's played football knows that at speed, when you get an arm in the face, it might not look much because it's not a bent elbow, but yeah, it can still be tasty, and it can still be a little bit sore. So I just found this remarkable that it caused so much conjecture and opinion and controversy for what was essentially just a nothing incident, Derek. You know, pundits are pundits. They're there to give their opinion. But I just felt that that one by Ricky Foster was just a little bit more intense and...
Yeah.
A little bit more intense and personal than I think was probably you would expect from something that's on the BBC.
Yeah.
Put it this way, as I say in my piece today, if Alan Shearer or Ian Wright went in two-footed like that on a player in the English Premier League, it would be pretty much national news.
Yeah.
Because it's just not the kind of thing that's normally done on that platform. And I think there's a good reason for that, as David Priest pointed out.
Yeah, yeah, it was go and read it, folks. It's an interesting point of view that Johnny puts across on the website this morning. Another great piece. Well, first of all, before we touch on Josh's piece, nice words here from Johnny Dunlop. He says, morning from Portadown, Northern Ireland. Great interview on the site with former Gers goalkeeper Lindsay Hamilton. Spent a season at Portadown in 1994-95. Very kind of you to say so, Johnny. Yeah, interview on there with Lindsay Hamilton. I do urge you to check it out as well. And you're totally right as well, Johnny. Well thought of over there in Northern Ireland too. There's a point, Joshua puts a brilliant piece on the website this morning on set pieces. It's something that Rangers have drastically improved upon since Michael Beale has returned to the club. There's been a dramatic upturn in the Scottish Premiership. The XG from set pieces has risen from 0.3 to 0.47, and set piece goals has risen from 0.33 to 0.64, so almost a double improvement there. Under Giovanni van Bronckhorst, the team in the 15 league matches this season, the team scored 5 set piece goals, including 1 direct free kick. And under Beale, in 14 league matches, they've scored 9 set piece goals, including 3 direct free kicks. It's clear that Harry Watling and Michael Beale are doing something right, Johnny. I think I said, when Giovanni van Bronckhorst was in charge, the set pieces were absolutely dreadful. I think I asked James Tavernier about this, I think after the St Johnston game, if they need to work on set pieces more. And they said that it didn't really think there was too much of an issue. He cited that they got a goal at McDonald Park through the second phase. But it's clear that more work has been spent on set pieces. But I mean, the numbers that back this up as well.
Well, first of all, what I'd like to say is, this is exactly what the Rangers Review is all about, this piece. This is like a half an hour long read into everything you need to know about Rangers set pieces, all the numbers, all the data, everything that you could possibly need at your fingertips to explain the massive improvement that's taken place from Giovanni van Bronckhorst to Michael Beale. So it's behind a paywall. There's a reason for that, because it takes journalists time to come up with stuff like this. But Josh has done a marvellous job. You illustrate the stats brilliantly there, Derek. But the other thing that stood out to me from the article is the fact that Rangers are basically now only doing in-swinging corners. The only time they've done outswingers was when Borna Barisic was missing and Tavernier took the left-sided corners. But the rest of the time, corner kicks are coming in on top of the keeper. And what you're seeing because of that is you're seeing many, many more interactions in the six-yard box off the back of those set pieces. And Joshua illustrates this with the world-leading data that we have from StatsBomb that really pinpoints for us exactly the effect of all these dead balls.
Yeah.
And listen, we both know, Derek, that Scottish football, for all we love to talk about the tactics and all we love to talk about high-quality, tippy-tappy football that we both love, we know that with the weather the way it is in this country and the pitches the way they are as a result of that, and with the aggression that teams show and the way they sit in a low block, sometimes set pieces are very, very important, and they're even more important in Scotland. So to double your output, that basically tells you why we've seen such a stark difference in domestic league competition points per game under Michael Beale than there was under Giovanni van Bronckhorst. It's straightforward, it's simple, and this is a huge part of it. Getting the set pieces right. And I think Joshua brilliantly illustrates in this piece exactly why there's been an improvement, how there's been an improvement, and that it will continue. I think one of the other things that was stated, Derek, you can correct me if my stats aren't 100% right in the piece, was that Rangers have gone from the fourth best team on set pieces under Gio to the best.
Yeah, they're the best, yeah.
Under Michael Beale. So again, marginal gains, but this is a bit more than marginal. And you can see immediately the impact that a really, really good manager and coach who absolutely understands Scottish domestic game can have.
Yeah, listen, it's a huge part of the game, and Rangers have addressed it. The numbers are there for all to see. I do urge you to check the piece out, folks. I've bunged it in the description box as well. It's really fascinating, and it's clear the work that Harry Watling, in particular, and of course Michael Beale, have done to give Rangers that attacking edge. And set pieces are a big part of the game. I know I've spoken to managers down south, and there's some that don't like doing them because they just see it as being boring at times. Players say that as well, but listen, if I provide you with that percentage of improvement, then it can be very beneficial. Ross Jameson with a good point here. He says Goldson has been given more of a free role to attack balls coming into the box, with Davis sitting back a bit more. That's an interesting point from Ross. This from Alan, he says, Joshua not available today, thought Derek said he'd be on today, perhaps busy with a piece I asked him for. Probably is, Alan. I've got to say, he is writing something up at the moment. So that is the reason why Johnny stepped in at the 11th hour as a dependable substitute to come in. Neil McLean says, Beale has done a great job in getting a tune out of this old team set pieces. Great league form, which includes coming back from behind. That's not ideal, but I'm confident we can come back. That's an interesting point from Neil, Johnny, and it's an issue that Rangers need to improve upon, isn't it? We've seen it again at the weekend. It's almost become the norm now. We should expect Rangers to fall behind, but there isn't that sense of anxiety that Rangers aren't going to come back anymore. But I'm sure, ideally, they'd like not to give themselves a sort of, not a mountain to climb, but make life difficult for themselves early on in these games.
Yeah, I was just having a look at the goal stats under Beale so far, and I think it's nearly averaging a goal a game conceded since he came back in. So clearly, there's work to be done in the defence. Clearly, balls flashed across the face of the goal in terms of low crosses are an issue, which in turn makes Celtic games problematic. And I think set pieces in general have been an issue too. That's something that must get better. Now, I think quite clearly the manager is looking at another centre-half, and I think we can surmise that for certain games, Michael Beale wants someone who can come in who's more aerially dominant than Ben Davies. I think that's something we can all understand. Philip Hellander would be an enormous help to this Rangers team right now, Derek.
Oh, God, I know.
A really terrific player, a really terrific defender. You know, robust, perfect for Scottish football, great in the air, no nonsense. And unfortunately, the poor guy has been absolutely ravaged by injury. That's an international player that can't turn out for the team. And it's so sad because I think everyone who's seen him play over his time at Rangers will say that Philip Hellander was a bloody good centre-half and is the answer. It's just unfortunate that, you know, he's unable to physically match up to what's required. And I think that's why Rangers will allow him to depart in the summer when his contract's up. And we'll look to get someone in who can do a similar job and is of a similar quality. Obviously, the club's been linked with Jonathan Panzo in the press last night. Yeah. I've not had a chance to check that out yet today. But the writer who did do it up, Scott Burns, has got his finger on the pulse of transfer stories and have no reason to disbelieve that one. Rangers having a look at him, sort of player that Michael Beale knows well from his time at Chelsea, so it ticks a lot of boxes. Whether or not he would be available at a price that would be attractive or not is another story. I'm a huge fan of Ben Davies. I know that Stevie, who's a contributor to the pod and the website, has his doubts. What I feel Rangers have lacked often against the low block is having a defender who can bring the ball out and zip it really fast into feet. Connor Goldson can do that. And when Ben Davies is playing, you can do it on both sides. And I think that's a huge attacking, it's huge addition to the attacking arsenal of the team. But that said, I think the numbers so far suggest that in certain games, you also need a dominant aerial presence. And whether that be Panzo or another Hell Under Light type player, I think Rangers do need that. The centre-half positions are up for debate because I think it's quite clear that Michael Beale fancies a move to a back three.
Yep.
This is something that we've discussed quite a lot on the video. Josh has written articles about, and it does mean that if that's going to go ahead, you do need to go out and strengthen that back area as well. So I think the defence in general is going to be one to watch in terms of the evolution as Beale gets a hold of it and goes through a full pre-season with the lads trying to bed in new ideas into them. Mm. And I think it's absolutely certain that a new centre-half will arrive in the summer, that's for sure.
Yeah. Michael Beale has spoken on record about that and touched on John Souter's fitness. It's something that, I mean, he's came back from a long-term injury and touch wood, he can steer clear from injury, but I think it makes perfect sense with Hollander. Looks likely to be heading out the door that Rangers bring in some reinforcements in the back line. Just a few comments that are coming in. First of all, Colin Cooper says, Derek, the wife's off work today, lying next to me watching the Rangers review. Could you give her a wee shout out, please? Her name's Lynn. Absolutely. I hope you have a good day, Lynn. Great to have you tuning in with your husband, Colin, and thank you for your support. Hopefully you have a cracking day, you guys. Craig Hamilton says, working in the sun, listening to the show, can you whack it? Absolutely. It's unfortunately, it's not sunny down here where I am, but hopefully it pops its head out a little later on. But you're absolutely right, Craig. Nothing beats talking Rangers on a Thursday morning. Alan's point just echoes the point we were raising, Johnny. It says, kind of a related point, if we go three at the back, then it should offer more height for set pieces. Are you excited to see this three at the back, incidentally? I mean, and when do you expect to see it? Presumably, it'd be a Goldson, Souter and Davis back three. Do you think we may see it coming up against Dundee United, perhaps?
It'll be very interesting to see when it's rolled out and how it's rolled out. It looks like, to me, at the moment, Michael Beale wants to slowly try it out towards the end of games, maybe when games are already tied up. But he's going to have to start with it at some point, and Dundee United maybe is a good opportunity to do that. I think that's a very, very good point about offering more height from the set pieces, and will only add to what we've already discussed in terms of giving you that extra level of quality. I don't know about you, Derek. We've only seen snapshots of John Souter so far, but it's very clear that the guy can pass the ball. Yep. And now Rangers have three centre-halves that are very, very comfortable with the ball at their feet and can spring forward, start attacks. So there's everything there to make that back three a success. One of the things that I've been supporting for quite a long time is this idea of having several formations that you can easily move in and out of to keep teams guessing. One of the things that always happens in Scottish football is that you always get found out if you don't evolve. I think I've discussed it before that the Brendan Rodgers team in the first season for Celtic was, I think they were unbeaten, weren't they? And the next season they weren't as good, and in the third season it was starting to go off the rails a little bit. They still managed to get there, but it was, I think that was more down to the paucity of Rangers' quality at the time as opposed to their own quality. It's because eventually in Scottish football, the coaches are pretty good at finding a way to stop teams, to nullify teams. They'll get there eventually, and it'll happen to Ange Postecoglou at Celtic as well as teams kind of get more used to different ways to stop the system. I think you saw when Celtic went to St Mirren this season, there was a real blueprint laid down by Stephen Robinson in terms of how to get at Celtic if you're a domestic side. It's one thing saying it and another thing doing it, which is why they continue to win. Rangers have become unstuck with regards to that, Derek, over the last 3 or 4 years. You know, they've had this 4-3-3 that's been pretty much a rigid structure. And I feel like having the ability to go to a back three and completely change things up is a really good option to disrupt teams where you're struggling to break them down, try something completely different and just pose new questions. We've seen that in the past in the Scottish Premiership. By moving to a different formation, it can take teams a while to get to grips with it. And I think having different shapes in your armoury allows you to cause confusion and cause destruction, and sometimes that's what Rangers need.
Yeah, totally agree with that one. Bob says, I wouldn't experiment with a back three against Celtic. Of course, that match on the horizon, the first at Parkhead on the 8th of April. Of course, we've got the semi-final sandwiched in between the two league games. So, listen, it's going to be interesting.
I think it's with that in mind, Derek, to be honest. I think the back three idea is a little bit like, you remember when Alex McLeish came in and had a look at Celtic's 3-5-2 under Martin O'Neill and said, you know, the answer to this is not the 4-4-2, it's a 4-3-3, because he saw teams in Europe giving Celtic a chasing at that time because they got width down the sides of the two centre-backs and the wing-backs. And I think Michael Beale's maybe looked at teams like Bodo Glimt and others who have gone up against Celtic and had a think about what they've had success with. And I think he feels like having a back three might be something that would help disrupt Ange Postecoglou's system.
Yeah. Listen, I'm quite excited at seeing it. It's not necessarily a defensive. I know there's some comments that you take away an attacking element, but there's loads of teams that play with three in the back that play expansive football, especially down south. Man City have done it for a period of time. Chelsea Inter Milan and Juventus won league titles playing a back three under Antonio Conte. Even Bolton, I follow as well, play some of the most expansive football in League One, playing a back three, and they have done for the last couple of seasons. So I don't necessarily think it's going to take away an attacking element. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it works. Comment come in from Colin says, so a back three, does Ridvan have it in the team? Absolutely. There will be the two wing-backs, I'd imagine. Just touching on Ridvan, I know he gave an interview to Rangers TV. It's the first time we've really heard him, I think, Johnny. Enjoyed some of the comments that he was making. He's certainly a lad that was unfortunate with that hamstring injury that he suffered, but he certainly doesn't look someone that's homesick and wants to head back to Turkey, as we've seen some reports in the past, and as Michael Beale's touched upon in recent weeks as well. He's someone that he's really excited to work with. What did you make his performance at the weekend against Motherwell? And with Borna coming back after the birth of his son, we hope all that goes well. It'll give Michael Beale a selection headache, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think you need to give Ridvan another game, give him a chance. I thought it was sort of 6 out of 10 performance. He didn't do anything wrong. There was one moment right at the start of the second half where he kind of ghosted past a couple of players and then had a shot with his right foot, which you obviously wouldn't see Borna doing. I think his right foot's for standing.
He'd done that at Blackpool in a pre-season game, scored, and he'd done it against Napoli and scored, and it was ruled Ryan Kent was offside for VAR.
That's true,
he's got it in his locker.
That's true, but I think still generally my point stands based on many, many years of watching him. Ridvan is a young guy. He's just come in. His English is clearly coming along because I thought he was really clear in terms of giving that interview, and impressive that he's got himself up to that stage so quickly. You sometimes forget, Derek, the cultural adaptation that needs to go on to get used to not just another country, but another country where the natives don't really speak English. Because, you know, it's from a point of view of a Turk coming into Scotland, you know, you learn English and it's the Queen's English, as it were. And then you come to Glasgow and everyone's speaking in this accent with a lot of slang and changes to what you would expect from the English you've learned. So it's not just as easy as kind of coming in and getting used to the language itself. There's more to it than that. There's the culture, the weather, the food, all that on top of it. It's a big ask for a young guy, and it's always going to take time to settle into a new club. So I think we'll see the best of Ridvan next season.
Yeah.
But he's of an age where, you know, it's a long-term investment Rangers have made, and you'll see him settle into that more next term. One thing I would say regarding, you mentioned the Turkish media there, Derek. The Turkish media are going to have a field day with Ridvan because they're notoriously click-orientated. You know, they'll just print anything. And I think there's basically a story a day linking Ridvan with a loan move back to one of the big Turkish clubs. And I don't think that's going to change. I think you're going to constantly have one or two of these stories flashing up every week about him wanting to come home, because he's a reasonably big name.
Yeah.
Turkish international back there, and you know, he's not playing every week or hasn't been playing every week, but I think certainly from speaking to people at Rangers when he first came in, and now Ridvan is seen as someone who I think they're excited about. And listen, I spoke to Michael Beale about this 2-3 weeks ago, and he was absolutely, how would I describe it? He was just extremely warm in talking about what he thinks Ridvan can offer to the team. Yeah. And how he can give the team a different dimension and a different option to Borna Barisic, because Ridvan's a different kind of player completely. Borna Barisic is a crosser, and he's got an absolute wand of a left foot, whereas I think Ridvan can create more from inside the pitch as well as outside. So he can go both ways. I think he's more of an all-round modern fullback than Borna, but he's not going to, I don't think, give you the quality delivery that Borna does. Although he's still good in that regard, he would be at Rangers otherwise, but I think Borna's one of these players that's maybe 6 out of 10 for most things in his game, and then his left foot's 9 out of 10. And that's why he's got incredible numbers since arriving in Scotland. And it's very, very difficult to... Obviously, if Borna had the level of quality that he has in his left foot in the rest of his game, he'd be at Manchester United or Arsenal or Liverpool or something like that, because that's the level of his ping with that peg of his.
Yeah, just you, like that cliche, wand of a left foot joining. There's an account on Twitter that made me chuckle the other day. There's umpteen managers using wand of a left foot. It's absolutely brilliant. I can't recall the name of it, but it's superb. And Stuart Keane says, I had to laugh when Ridvan said some people speak too fast. Yeah, absolutely. That's another thing when you visit Glasgow and you're not used to it. Picking up that the language can be pretty tricky at times. But Ridvan speaking well in that interview with Rangers TV, folks, do go check it out and see him in action again. I think we will see him against Dundee United. I hope so anyway. And I think you could really benefit in that back three that Michael Beale is looking to adopt at some point. Okay, I think that will do there. Thanks to everyone for interacting with the show as ever. It is greatly appreciated. Big thanks to Johnny also. Just a reminder, we've got that offer on the website just now, just £1 for 3 months worth of content. That in itself is a cracking deal, just £2.99 per month thereafter. But if you sign up now, you also get entered into a draw for 2 director's box tickets for the home match against Dundee United on the 1st of April. So head over.
And that ends tomorrow, Derek. Ends tomorrow. So
yeah, get in there.
Now is the time.
Yeah, now is certainly the time. So head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe, folks, to sign up. I'll be back tomorrow with Chris Jack, presumably, hopefully. He had an important meeting last week, but fingers crossed we've got Chris on the podcast tomorrow. But to each and every one of you, hope you have a great Thursday, and we'll speak to you again tomorrow. Bye for now.